Hello and welcome to a new season of Marvel's Voices. I'm your host, Angelique Rocher. Marvel's Voices has always been the place to spotlight diverse storytellers from around the Marvel universe. This season, we're changing up the format. We're bringing in more voices than ever before. Plus, we published two comic books, Marvel's Voices number one and Marvel's Voices Indigenous Voices number one, with more on the way. Today, I'm talking to the legendary Method Man. Now, for those who may need a little bit of a backstory on Method Man, he started his career as a member of the Wu-Tang Clan. And now he's not just a rapper, he's an actor, a writer, and most importantly, a Marvel superfan. This dude is actually Marvel canon and has appeared in multiple ways in the Marvel universe. And now he has his own podcast called Marvel Method. Marvel Method is pop culture meets comic book meets celebrity talk show, right? It's the ultimate remix of Marvel fandom. Actor, rapper, and Marvel enthusiast Method Man gets a chance to talk to some of his favorite people who also happen to be major Marvel fans about life, fandom, and of course, their favorite comic books. You can listen to Marvel Method weekly on the SiriusXM app and desktop player. So, I am super excited to talk to an actual voice of Marvel, but before we get into all of his Marvel work, I want to get into how Meth became the Marvel fan he is today and where the name Method Man came from. All right, what do you want to be called for the interview?
You can call me Meth. That word. Name is a block name. That came from the street.
Wow.
Authentic.
So you were handed that name.
No, I took it. Took it from somebody. His name was Foss Method. Fossils. And I was like, you ain't holding that right. I'm Method Man, man. I'm taking that.
So set the record straight.
We appropriated Chinese culture, and they appropriated it right back. Now, I'm going to give you the real story. What happened was they wanted to put out a series of old Run Shaw movies and things of that nature. And wanted to do it with Wu-Tang, so they called it the 36 Chamber Edition, and they started renaming movies. I think the one that they named Method Man might have been named Fearless Boxer originally.
Word.
But they renamed it Method Man to capitalize off that name. But no, I did not get that name from a movie.
So how did you start reading comics?
I grew up in Long Island. I was born in Long Island. And my start of my comic book love was in Long Island. There was this kid. I forgot his name, but he was a friend of my friend's. It's crazy because he had a broke leg. And he had all these comic books. So I guess his parents thought, okay, since he's idle, he can't do much. And we used to go over there and read his books. And the one that stood out to me, the most colorful one, was the X-Men. I connected. I was familiar with comic books. I was familiar with the original X-Men. Wasn't too keen on them. Didn't like the uniform, especially the Beast. But these X-Men, I didn't recognize these guys.
Yeah.
So it was like, who's the guy with the claws? Where are these claws coming from? You know? And then when I found out that they could actually come out of his hands, because there was a minute where you didn't know where the claws came from because the books didn't tell you that the claws came out of his hands. You just saw those metal things and thought the claws came, you know, from
came
some
off.
Kind
of, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. And from that day on, it was like, this is the guy right here. This is the dude right here. Wolverine. And it's just, you know, just seeing all these newer characters from seeing Storm.
Yeah.
It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at her. I just love the X-Men, man. It was just something about it. I mean, from Claremont writing, Davis doing artwork.
Yes.
You know, Art Adams with X-Babies. The list goes on and on. I mean, when Jim Lee had his run, when they redid just incredible. It's just something about groups that always stood out to me, from Magnificent Seven, the Samurai movie, Seven Samurai, I believe?
Yep.
Five Deadly Venoms. It's just something about that group aspect. So it's kind of crazy that later on in life I would be part of one of the biggest groups ever in hip-hop. So,
yeah.
It's kind of full circle.
All right. So we grow up in Long Island. We get into comic books.
Yeah.
And then somewhere around the mid-80s, a rap career starts.
Well, we moved around a lot. Like I said, born in Long Island, raised in Long Island most of my life, but we did move around a lot. I was in Indiana for a minute, but where my mom finally settled, she settled in Staten Island. Dad was in Long Island, mom in Staten Island, and this is where I met all my future friends. I could have hung out with the guys that drank beer and did all that other craziness, but the guys I hung out with were MCs. And we would find ourselves most of the days in the staircase, either beating on the wall. Well, it's in the hood, in the projects, you have staircases that lead all the way up to the roof. So we would be in between the roof and the top floor and right there. So you could hear the cops coming from the bottom, you run out through the rooftop. If they're coming from the top, you run down the stairs. So, you know, we just in there rhyming, doing our thing and stuff, and I kind of took to it. It was just amazing to me that dudes my age, 12 and 13, were so good at it that I was like, you know what, I'm going to start writing my own rhymes. Next time I'm sitting up in there with them, I'm going to have my shit ready. Yeah, my first rhyme I wrote was with Raekwon. Raekwon the Chef. Yeah. But for me, hip-hop, rap, me actually rhyming started at 12, 13 years old. Yeah.
1 year after the Wu-Tang Clan's 1993 debut album, Enter the Wu-Tang, a.k.a. 36 Chambers, Marvel published its now famous limited series, Marvels, by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross. The book talks about Galactus's invasion of Earth seen from the perspective of the character Phil Sheldon, a photojournalist. The book also includes one of Phil's co-workers and legendary Marvel investigative journalist, Ben Urich. In 2019, Marvels was adapted into an audio fiction series, and Method Man had the opportunity to voice Ben Urich.
He's been around. He's like a staple in the Marvel universe, kind of like, well, I wouldn't even put him in the same category as Gwen Stacy or Spider-Man. Ben has been around a lot of different heroes.
I remember getting the news that we were going to do this audio fiction podcast.
Yeah.
And I remember someone going, oh, yeah, and Meth's playing Ben. And I was like, Also, I just get excited when you have something where you can get a story from the point of view of non-superpowered folks.
Yeah, it always works. That's the biggest part of that series that really stuck out for me. We saw the superheroes through the eyes of the common man and the damage that can be done, psychological as well as physical, which was unheard of. And I mean, Alex Ross's, you know, his watercolor, incredible, you know. It just all came together like perfect. It was like this should have been done. This is why I commend Marvel for being progressive.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't just sit back and give us, you know, gumball machine stories and things like that. It always progressed with the times.
And there's something about this particular story. Like, I always saw journalism as you're the modern day historian. Like, you were the one who's sitting right there because, you know, if there is no account, then what are the historians looking at to figure out what happened?
Exactly.
And so it's almost like you got to play that type of superhero because you had, Ben has the power of the word, right?
Yes.
And which is very fitting for you playing Ben.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm a lyricist. Yes, the power of the word, absolutely.
So what was it about it? Because I, when thinking about how you bring this gravelly voice, slightly surly Ben to life, like what was your process for that?
I wanted to separate myself from my character as much as possible because whether people understand this or not, whether it's a podcast, voiceover, animation movie, you're still acting. And those people that were in that room with me are certified actors. So while we're in there, you kind of not just feel the words, but you want to feel the room also. So anytime someone as an actor would want to know, okay, well, why am I saying this or why is this like this? I kind of rudely jumped in before anybody else could say anything because I live this life. I mean, I've read the Marvels book. I would kind of explain to them what the backstory was. That's all I did.
But they were amazed by it.
And I'm like, well, this is like everyday life for me since I was 11 years old, you know? So this is like tying my shoe for me, you know, brushing my teeth in the morning. Anything you don't know that you're not familiar with or you want to know what the emotions of this character was, I could tell you.
So let's hear a clip.
I remember things from that day a little differently. The way the attack happened, Phil got that beat for beat. the fire sky, then the floating rocks, Galactus arriving, trouncing the Fantastic Four, assembling his machine. That's how it all happened. But Phil didn't stick around. After he left, the police swarmed in and word came down that Galactus was going to annihilate our planet. Not the best news to get, but I was a little distracted.
To hear more Meth as Ben Urich, listen to Marvels wherever you get your podcasts.
You are a constant storyteller.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about your career is that, and I want to talk about it, there is a moment that you decided that you wanted to be on screen.
Yeah.
And there is a moment that you decided to be on screen, not just as Method Man.
Yeah.
So what was it for you as a storyteller that made you want to make that jump?
I wanted to produce. It's funny you said that. I wanted to produce and tell some of these stories that I grew up on. Some of these, whether they're old wives' tales from the hood, things like that. Just some of these stories that need to be told the way only we can tell them. You know, people that were actually there. So for me, love acting. It was a great gateway to get in. Music is what got me where I am now. Acting is going to keep me there. Once I made the decision to have this great second act, I went to my manager's house and I did the work. The acting classes, started going to the gym. I just like to do the work. Forget, you know, we're going to sit here and do our emotional journals for an hour where we just sit here in silence and write down how emotional we are at the point in time. You know, just jot things down.
I mean, you had been talking about your emotions on Grammy-nominated and Grammy-winning work for decades. Like, you were already very in touch with your emotions.
Basically, what I'm saying is it doesn't take me an hour to get ready. It doesn't take me an hour. Maybe it takes you an hour to get yourself in a frame of mind of embodying a character. For me, I've been doing this shit my whole life, you know, portraying characters.
Yeah.
All my life. So it doesn't take me that long.
Process is different for everybody.
Process is different for everybody.
And I think that also enhances the fact that artists on stage, period, yeah, regardless of what format, whether it is performance poetry, singers, rappers, hip-hop artists, lyricists,
yeah,
actors, stage actors versus screen actors versus voice actors,
right,
all of them have a different process, and all of them, you learn something about presenting a story in each and every one of those mediums.
And I like to take pieces and bits from everyone. So for me, I knew that's part of it. So for me, I may approach it differently. I may have to listen to a song that puts me in that frame of mind, or think of things that would put me in that frame of mind so I can relate to it more. You know what I mean? But
point. So like if Ben Urich had a playlist, yeah, what would it be?
Ben Urich's playlist?
Yeah.
I know he'd have some Frank Sinatra. I know that for sure. He'd probably have I think he would have some Earth, Wind, and Fire in there somewhere. Yeah. You know, Ben seems
little
cool
Marvin
like
Gaye.
That. Little Marvin Gaye, you know. But then he also seems like he could be a Slayer man. On the low, you know what I mean?
Listen to a little bit. Like on the slick, like while he's cooking?
You know, just, you know, in those moments where he's just, you know, he's alone at home and he's just, you know, doing his thing and he wants to let his hair down a little bit, throw on some Slayer. I mean, Ben walked around with the dark glasses most of the time. You know, shades.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, yeah, and he kept the hair, kept the buzz cut. Am I right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, he kept the buzz cut. So that's like a little modern mixed with a little old school. Correct?
Because, yeah,
you know, back in those days, a lot of people had the buzz cut. It was like General Thunderbolt Ross with the with the buzz cut, you know. But he threw the shades on to add a little bit of modern to it, you know. Ben is, I love the character of Ben, like I said, because he's been around, you know, he's always been somewhere in the background in some of the most impactful stories through the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And very informative guy, always been on key, and never was out of his league around these superheroes without powers.
Yeah.
Very confident. And this is how I wanted to portray him in this whole scenario. But as I'm reading the script, it's like we're being introduced to these characters the same way the audience is. Ben is, I know he's skeptic. I know he's a bit, you know, his journalist background makes him question everything. But in the back, I know he's a believer.
Yeah.
He's a true believer. But his true belief won't let him be that because of the things I said prior to that.
He's got the skeptic. He's got the skeptic side. He's a journalist. He questions. That's his trade. His trade is to question.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, that's really dope. And it really does bring a lot of context into your portrayal of the role. Mm-hmm. So what did you listen to before you got into the studio for Marvels?
Nothing. Because I went in knowing the story already. Word. I just wanted to see how they were going to flip it. And then I just adapted to whatever it was that they were doing there. So, yeah, I think I actually was there to just keep everybody else informed of what we were doing in the room, honestly. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Yeah, just in case they don't read books. I mean, I kid you not, some of the people that they brought in there, no, all of them actually, I was tremendously impressed with, especially a guy that played Spider-Man.
Oh.
It was like if you close your eyes, you were listening to Spider-Man. Ben Grimm, same deal. It was like, this guy is incredible.
It's like hearing the voices of your childhood, right?
Yes.
So for you as a Marvel fan, you know, now as an actor who's taken us to the next step, like you are just a constant storyteller.
Yeah.
What is it about telling stories from perspective that only people of color, that only from your perspective, right, a black man
not
from New York?
Not even just people of color, just people that have lived there. Like, the reason why Forrest Gump was so authentic was because the story was told by people that live in places like Beaumont, people that live in Beaumont.
Hey,
you know,
I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge. Things, Baton Rouge is beautiful, though.
It's a great city for what it is. Yeah,
Louisiana's a great state,
I agree.
Honestly.
It produces a lot of great people.
You guys just get the bottom end of the stick so much, though. But the fact that, and I'm keeping it a buck, anytime I shot New Orleans, people don't even know you. And they be like, how you doing, baby? What's happening, baby? What's good? I mean, they so friendly out there, man.
Yeah.
I could not believe that was the murder cap for a long time because anytime I was out there, I was embraced. They're very friendly out there. I love the people in Louisiana.
Yeah, I agree. But for you, like, storytelling is... It seems like any medium you can get your hands on, you can't help yourself but tell a story.
Yeah.
What is it about that drives you so hard?
Just to let people know that I was there. For real, if you could tell the story, you were there, man. It's like, and when I'm gone, people will know that I was here. That's dope. That's the best way I could put it, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Playing Ben Urich in the audio drama Marvels isn't all that Meth has done for Marvel. He brought his writing talents to the table. He wrote the Ghostwriter Xmas special with Anthony Piper, featuring Robbie Reyes, Ghostwriter, going up against Krampus. And Meth wrote a story for Marvel's Voices number 1. That's an anthology based off of this podcast, and it's available right now. He wrote a really awesome story about his favorite, Wolverine.
What are the 5 essential issues or arcs that someone who needs to get into comics just needs to read?
All right. Dark Phoenix Saga. Right? There's so many great runs of the Hulk. I can't pick one.
Your prized possession is actually an issue of the Hulk.
Yes. Wolverine's first appearance, Hulk issue 181, I believe. Is it 181?
Yeah. Yes.
181, yeah. I got to look at it again. Well, Dark Phoenix Saga, for sure. Civil War, definitely. Not the one in the movies, even though that one was dope. The Infinity Saga.
Word.
Definitely. The one with, because this was so dope, when Thor wasn't worthy anymore, he couldn't.
Oh, he lost the hammer.
Yeah. What was that whole storyline? Nick Fury was. I don't want to give any spoilers away just in case nobody's seen it, but the Watcher gets killed.
For the record, the run is called Original Sin by Jason Aaron and Mike Diodato. It came out in 2014. It's awesome. And it's on Marvel Unlimited if you want to go check it out.
That storyline. So what is that for?
That's 4.
Oh, Frank Miller Daredevil.
Boom. Boom. There you go.
Bye.
Frank Miller, Daredevil.
There we go.
Like, essential.
Essential.
You're also going to love Marvel's Voices number 1.
Wolverine Limited Edition.
There's a Wolverine Hulk story in Marvel's Voices number 1.
Really?
Done by David Walker.
They've always had great
Sanford.
Battles.
It's great.
One of my favorites was the McFarlane one where the Hulk, the Grey Hulk, fought Wolverine. And it was pretty bloody. It was pretty bloody.
I mean,
and
then who else do you put against two indestructible?
I mean, but McFarlane had such a great run on that book, man. And then he took Spider-Man over, and it was just good for you, Todd. Good for you, man. Real talk. He makes some of the best toys, too. I'm digging the Runaways also.
Yo.
Really digging the Runaways.
The Runaways have been really good. It's one of my favorite
I'm going to have to get back issues because I did start it, and I think I read the first 12 issues of it. I mean, that whole thing about these people being so under the radar, they're actually in the Marvel Universe, but no one knows who the hell they are. Right. That's crazy.
Right?
I mean, like I said, Marvel has always been progressive, not taking anything away from their distinguished competition. But Marvel has always grounded themselves enough that the audience can have a sense of believability when they're reading these stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing about it. It's relatable, and it's kind of what we were talking about when we were talking about the X-Men, right?
Yes.
Like, if you took away the fact that they're mutants, they are still people. They're still dealing with real-life people stuff.
Absolutely. My sisters probably would have hit on Bishop.
I mean, I would.
You know? And,
I would have. Sorry, babe.
Hey, I would have hit on Storm. Absolutely.
I mean, Bishop
How you doing, Storm? She would have been in the club with Rihanna.
But Bishop was like a linebacker, right? Like, Bishop would have been in the NFL.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably,
man.
But you know, I mean, let's put him in a whole different setting. Maybe just because of his size. Yeah, you're right.
Let's put him in a suit, though. Yeah.
He can be in a suit later on. He could be Magic Johnson later on in his career and stuff.
So for
but
you,
imagine Storm in the club with Rihanna and Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? And they just... You know,
her own strobe lights.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
I appreciate it, man. I love talking shop. You know, it's pretty cool. And I'm still reading the book, so that's even better.
Yeah?
I'm a Marvel fan for life. And, you know, I'm not panhand. I've been saying this since the beginning of my career. People know that I've always been partial to Marvel, period.
Marvel's Voices is produced by me, Angelique Roche, Persia Berlin, Jorge Estrada, and M.R. Daniel. Our director of audio is Jill DeBoff. Our development manager is Brad Barton. This episode was mixed by Cedric Wilson at Lantigua Williams & Co.
All right, so for those who are interested in hearing a little bit more about the amazing work that Method Man has done on this incredible scripted audio series, hey, you know what? You have been rewarded.
I'm Sam Reuter, and welcome to the morning news for November 4th, 1966. Anti-war protests...
...that the U.S. will be sending more troops to Vietnam.
Coming.
Soviets make plans to send another craft into orbit. Rumors that our very own Fantastic Four of...
...coming.
...are just foiled by the controversial figure known as Spider-Man.
Hadn't been for the Avengers. We're lucky that these
heroes. Fantastic Four have not been seen in several days. In their absence, Senator Harrington Byrd has proposed...
Galactus is coming.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it felt like the end of the world.
I just don't have blind faith like some of these kids that superheroes can fix everything.
Have you ever seen anything like this, Phil?
I saw a lot of things during the war, but this...
God has come to deliver retribution!
I need to get closer.
Johnny, he's too fast for you!
I was close, Surfer Man. My turn.
I don't know how much longer I can protect them, Reed.
Ben, it's clobbering time!
Marvel and Stitcher present Marvels, based on the graphic novel by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross, starring Cliff Method Man Smith as Ben Urich, Anna Sophia Robb as Marsha Hardesty, Ethan Peck as Reed Richards, and Seth Barish as Phil Sheldon.
Listen to Marvels wherever you get your podcasts.